You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Blue Point Grill, that's grillwithane.com for reservations. Time to go ahead and get your special someone down to Blue Point Grill. They have great seafood, best seafood restaurant in town. Lobster, ahi tuna, scallops, oysters, hand shucked, great steaks as well. Great service, VIP experience for everyone involved at the Blue Point Grill. That's grillwithane.com, located on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair. It's the who's who of people watching in Cleveland, and also delicious foods, great wine list, and great, of course, drinks to get you going through the night and have a wonderful night at Blue Point Grill. Call it bluepointgrill.com, grillwithane.com for reservations. Joining us now, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan. Jim, I said that this was a nightmarish performance for the Cleveland Browns. What was your take on what we saw yesterday?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, it was such a build-up, Nathan, and, you know, I think maybe we all got a little bit lost in the magic dust of, you know, we're going to put Johnny Manziel out there, and he's instantly going to hit a button, and all of those plays from college and, you know, his wonderful career at Texas A&M are going to reappear, and it's going to be great. But what we didn't realize is, I mean, he's a rookie, and he's making his first start in the NFL. And he's making it very late in the season in a very significant game against a team that really needed the win yesterday and played that way. And it was a the Browns looked as though they were in a preseason game. I mean, it really had a lot of the looks of like a preseason game for the Browns in the way that they were organized or the lack of organization at the line of scrimmage. And the Bengals were, you know, really ready to go. So it was a very, very tough day under tough circumstances.
Jim, how did you feel about the game plan that Kyle Shanahan put together for Johnny Manziel?
I thought it was a little strange, Matt. I thought it was almost as if they tried to reconstruct a new offense and do it in 1 week's time. And really, when you break it down, you know, like 3 days, I mean, because that's all the practice time that they have. So I didn't see – when they said it was going to look a little different, it really did. I mean, they were in that pistol all day long, and it seemed as though they – at times didn't know what they wanted to do with that. I thought it was a strange game plan. I mean, I thought that I know that you have to give him some things that make him feel comfortable with what he does, but I just thought that nothing worked, obviously, and you know, the Bengals were ready for everything and really pumped up to play against Manziel, and I just thought at times he looked totally lost and at times very defenseless in the pocket.
You talked about him looking a little bit lost, sometimes defensive, the footwork, some of the issues you saw against, you know, from Johnny Manziel's college tape, they reared their ugly heads. You're going to revert at times to things that are natural in your instincts, and we saw that with Johnny yesterday. Where does he go from here, and what do you expect to see from him this week and bounce back against Carolina?
Well, it won't be hard to improve. I mean, that's how difficult a day it was yesterday, so I think that's what we have to look for. And we really got to just say to ourselves, hey, listen, this was a rookie starting his first game and the first significant amount of playing time that he's had since August. And you know, even that was kind of limited. So, you know, we just have to remember that now and come off this euphoria of him going into the buildup in that game last week and say he's got a lot of work to do and they've got a lot of work to do around him. Because, Nathan, it seems like they have to learn – how to play with him as their quarterback as much as he's got to learn how to play. That's the thing that I think has to be done now this week, and that the two parts have to come together when they go to Carolina, and it's got to look better and it's got to be more effective.
Jim, you know, again, we heard Coach Pettine's comments about Johnny Manziel looked like a rookie, played like a rookie, but I think the one thing that caught me most off guard yesterday was our defense's inability to stop that running attack and stop the Bengals' offense in general. Was that as shocking to you as well?
Yeah, because that, you know, it's happened in periods of games, Matt, like the first half against Pittsburgh in the opening game of the year. I mean, you know, the Steelers did whatever they wanted to do. The Tennessee game in the first half before the Browns made that big comeback. But it hasn't happened in a full game like it did yesterday. And certainly that was part of a disaster, too. The fact that they couldn't get off the field and that Manziel not only went behind 7-0, but he then went behind very quickly 10-0. And now there's even more pressure to kind of change the game plan, even though you got a lot of time left in the game. So the fact that the Browns defense couldn't get off the field And then the other thing was the Browns offense couldn't stay on the field. I mean, well, then that's when you get 30 to nothing. The other thing was that it just looked like, I was shocked that the Bengals were just coming out and just running the ball right at them. They did to the Browns what the Steelers did to the Bengals the week before and just ran the ball right at them, and how the Browns, you know, just could not come up with an answer to stop that because they really have played the run very, very well all year long.
It seems that when they run into teams that can just be physical with them at the point of attack on both sides of the ball, the Browns really struggle, and the Bengals were that physical team. We saw in Houston, we saw in Jacksonville.
Right.
What do you think the Browns need to do to try to shore that up? Carolina can be a physical team, certainly defensively on their front, and we know the Ravens are going to bring a lot of physicality in a game that probably is going to have huge playoff implications for them.
Yeah, I think, you know, Nathan, it's a bad matchup right now because, you know, I think if you go back to the Thursday night game in Cincinnati, Phil Taylor came back that particular night. He played really well that night. I mean, he really played well that night. And then, of course, he was re-injured, and he hasn't played since, and he's not going to play the rest of the year. And that's the kind of player you need, I think, to play against that style. You need that big body in there that's just going to be as physical as that offensive line going up against him, and to kind of negate that, and then you allow people to make plays behind you. And I think the same can be said for a guy like John Hughes. John Hughes is that kind of player, too. The absence of those guys is a real problem right now for the Browns because, you know, it's just wearing them down up front. They just don't have those players that can defeat that right now. So I don't know what you do, but I think it's a pretty – it's a pretty simple tape to pop in for other teams like Carolina and Baltimore, like you said, and they can say, hey, listen, our quarterback may not have to make a lot of plays in this game. Let's just try and run the ball at these guys, and we might be able to do two things, wear them down, and number two, score as much as we need to score to win a game and not have to make a lot of tricky throws and be in a lot of tough third down situations. Andy Dalton didn't have to do too much yesterday. He had to do a lot down in Cincinnati that Thursday night, and he didn't get it done.
Jim, based on what we've seen from this football season, what is your best expectation? Is this a team that fights to finish this football season, or is this a team that folds to finish this football season?
I think they fight. I mean, I think everything about them is that they're going to fight. I would really hope. They've only got two left now, and I would really love to see them get a couple of wins here, certainly at least one win, to get to an 8-win season and at the best hope a 9-win season, and finish with a flurry. I would hate to see them go empty, you know, at the end of the year, because there's been a lot of good things this year. They played a lot of good defense, and there were a lot of exciting moments offensively. There were points where we really thought we had a dominant running game, which isn't the case right now. There were a lot of points where we thought, boy, Brian Hoyer really has got it going, and that isn't going to be an option for them right now. Now we're going to try and do it with Johnny Manziel. But there's been too much good, Matt, that's gone on all year long to end with like a 5-game losing streak. I mean, that would sour it right now. And I think the players are very much aware of that. I think the head coach is very much aware of that. And I think they're going to come out and I think they're going to fight. I really do. Now, whether or not they've got enough, and of course with the huge obstacle being that they're going with a true rookie quarterback late in the year, you know, I mean, you got to watch the way these games go. They could get out of hand quickly if they fall into some, you know, bad patterns early in a game.
You certainly don't want that, because this team, all year long, when they've gotten in a hole, it has been tough to get out of it. Now, they did it early, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, but since then, this has not been a team that's been able to be successful when they can't run the football and can't maintain a lead in a game. Jim?
You know, Nathan, the other thing, too, is when you look at yesterday and you go back to that game and take a visual of this, no matter what running back was in there, Crowell or West, you add Agnew in there, you put Johnny Manziel in there, you put your fourth center of the year in there, and then how inexperienced are you with all of the people that are really touching the ball on most plays? It's amazing, really.
Yeah, you are very, very inexperienced, and that certainly could be part of it. I remember I was talking to Coach Pett. I said, do you realize you're going to have all rookies handling the ball basically at all times for the Browns? He's kind of like, wait, I didn't think about that. Pierre Desir, another rookie, I thought a bright spot in this game, came in after the injuries to Joe Hayden and, of course, to Justin Gilbert. I thought he played very well, and Buster Skrine played well. I think really when you look, Andy Dalton didn't have much success throwing the ball, and for to be without, you know, three of your top four cornerbacks against this team and still have that be the case, I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, when we kept going down to you and those injury reports became more and more
It was the whole show.
Disappointing. I mean, you're going, oh, my goodness, Hayden's out, Gilbert's out, Kaywan Williams is already out, you know. I just thought at that point Andy Dalton's eyes would light up, and A.J. Green and Sanu and all those guys, and they would go crazy. But they kind of stayed true to what was working for them. You know, there were two things that popped out to me yesterday. I don't want to see Buster Skrine leave because I think we have done all the work with him, and it's been different coaching staffs, but they've all done a good job with him, and I think he's become a really hard-nosed, battle-tested cornerback, and he has covered all kinds of receivers this year in the NFL, and he's done a very good job. So I don't want to see him go, and I know he's a free agent at the end of the year. Number two, you're right, Nathan. I would never have looked out there and said, boy, Pierre Desir looks lost.
No.
So in the last couple of weeks, and I know you've said in the last couple of weeks, his practices have been better and better, and I know that they were counting on this to be kind of a redshirt year for him because it was a big leap from where he played in college to come into the NFL. I'll tell you what, that is encouraging, and the fact that he's such a big cornerback, you know, I think is going to help him and it's going to help the team.
It certainly will. Jim, appreciate the time as always, and hopefully we can get this one behind us and get on to Carolina and hopefully have something much better to talk about next Monday than we had to talk about here today.
All right, let's hope so.
Yes, let's certainly hope so. That's the roundtable brought to you by Blue Point Grill. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Great seafood, great steaks, award-winning seafood, I should add. Silver Spoons Award winner every year since they've been open. Blue Point Grill, the corner of West 6th and St. Clair. Go to Blue Point Grill. That's Grill with an E.com for reservations. Hour number two of CBD. When we return, more of your phone calls, 216-578-0850. We'll hear sound bites from Johnny Manziel and Mike Pettine, as well as talk to Super Bowl champion, three-time Super Bowl champion, Gerard Sherry. That's at 2:30 here on CBD.